In your New Testaments, with the first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each of those New Testament writers record for us the events of Easter Sunday morning, all from their own perspective. And this morning I want to read Luke's account, starting in verse 1 of chapter 24, a passage Wayne read as part of our program earlier. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb to bring in the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling apparel. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He's not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. We know from Matthew and Mark and John that as this group of women were approaching the tomb of Jesus, carrying with them spices to anoint his body, they were concerned that they would not even be able to enter the tomb because of the large stone that would have been blocking its entrance. And yet we find here in verse 2 that as they arrived at the tomb site, the stone had already been removed. And it says they entered into the tomb and Jesus' body was gone. Two angels appeared to the woman and said, "He's not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again?" And those words by the angels are words that are really at the heart of Christianity. The Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter calls those words good news. In fact, we read about that good news in the first four verses of 1 Corinthians 15. He writes, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel." And some of your translations you may have may actually translate that, "the good news, which I preach to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures." That good news, that gospel message, is at the heart of Christianity. Simple truth that Jesus is God, that Jesus died on the cross, which we celebrated Friday, as payment for sin. And then he rose again from the dead, proving that he is God. That truth is at the heart of the Christian faith. When I was a kid, we grew up on an acreage out between Council Bluffs and Underwood, Iowa, out on Highway 191. And we had some black walnut trees. And in the falls, we would collect those black walnuts, and the ones that we did not throw at each other, we put on big screens and we let them dry for a while. And then we had an old hand crank corn sheller, which works great to get those holes off those walnuts. And we'd run those walnuts through that old corn sheller and take that outer hull. And if you've ever been around black walnuts, you know that it's really, there's a stain in there in the fiber, and it's just a mess. And we'd take all that outer hole off the walnuts. Then we let them dry some more. And then in the winter months, me and my siblings would be sent to the basement in an old unfinished basement with hammers, and we'd crack open black walnuts and get the meat out. It's excellent. This English walnuts are just like eating cardboard compared to a good Iowa black walnut. A cookie made with black walnuts, oh boy, it's great. To get down to that center, that meat. And to get to it, you take off all that outer hull, and you have to get through that shell. But when you get right down to the inner part, that's the central part. That's the center of the walnut. And the center of your Bible, the center of Christianity, is that very simple truth. Jesus is God. He died on a cross to pay for your sin and my sin. And he rose again from the dead, proving that he is God. That's what we celebrate today. I have a little pamphlet up here that I'm going to make available to you. If you want one of these after the service, you can just come up here and grab one. You don't even have to talk with me. But it says, "May I ask you a question?" And then it says, "The Bible contains both good news and bad news. The bad news is something about you, the fact that all of us are sinners. And the good news is something about God." And this little tract kind of just puts in, this little pamphlet just puts in into capsule form the center of the message of the Bible. That the Bible teaches in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that all of us have sinned. There's a verse in the book of Isaiah in the 59th chapter. The second verse says, "But your iniquities," or it's a big word for sin, "has made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you so that he does not hear." And it's as if that verse is telling us that because of our sin, we're on this side and God is over here, and our sin causes this giant chasm, this divide, this wall between us and between God. He's absolutely holy. There's no sin in him at all. He created us. He had a righteous demand upon us, a rightful demand upon us to live a holy life too, but we sinned. And because of our sin, and because he is holy, there's no sin in him at all, that sin caused us to be separated from God. And the New Testament tells us that that separation, that sin that we committed, has a penalty with it. And that's bad news. The book of Romans in the 6th chapter in the 23rd verse says this: "The wages of sin is death." The penalty for sin is death. And when the Bible talks about death, it really oftentimes talks about two aspects of death. Death simply is separation. When we talk about physical death, it's talking about the fact that our inner person, our soul, our spirit, is separated from our body. But the Bible also talks about a spiritual death, and that's what Romans 6:23 is talking about, that because of our sin, our inner person, our spirit, our soul, is separated from God. And the Bible describes that as an eternal separation, that eventually those who are separated from God as payment for sin, as penalty for sin, spend eternity separated from him, as the New Testament puts it, in a place called hell. And that is not good news for us. But what is good news for us is that God is not only a holy God, but he's a God of love, and he saw our predicament. He saw that even though we sometimes try to get over that chasm on our own by doing good things, or possibly, you know, thinking if I do enough good, I can outweigh the bad in my life, and we try to build our own little bridges over that chasm, we can't be good enough. And so God, as a God of love, took his one and only Son, Jesus, sent him to earth as we celebrated at Christmas, and he took on humanity. And as 100% God and as 100% man, lived a sinless life here on this earth. And then as we celebrated Friday, went to a cross and died on our behalf so that he would be able to bridge that chasm that's been created by our sin. There's a verse in the book of 1 Timothy in the second chapter that says this: for there's one God and one mediator, or a bridge between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. You see, he paid the price of my sin. He paid the price of your sin. And that payment for sin is available to all of us. We're left with a choice. Either we can pay the price of our own sin, the penalty of our own sin, on our own by spending eternity separated from God, or we can accept Jesus' payment for sin, which is offered to us as a free gift. Paul writes in the book of Ephesians in the second chapter these words: for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. We can't build our own bridge. If we could, we'd be all proud about it. But Jesus' payment for sin is offered to us as a free gift through faith. If we just come to the point, and we can even do it in the quietness of our own hearts, and we can just pray to God and say, God, I know I'm a sinner, and I can't do enough good to outweigh the bad in my life. Right now, I want to put my trust in Jesus, that he is God, that he died for sin and rose again from the dead. And when we put our faith in the person of Jesus Christ, at that moment, our sin is forgiven. And the New Testament tells us we become children of God. We're adopted sons and daughters. And he views us as righteous and holy because of what Jesus did for us. That payment for sin is appropriated to the account of your life and my life through faith. Through finally coming to a point where we say, I can't do it on my own. The only way I can have my sin forgiven is by putting my dependence, my trust in the person of Jesus Christ. If Jesus would have stayed in that grave, he would have just been a good man. But he rose from the dead. When those women came to that tomb, he was not there because he'd risen. And because he rose, we can have confidence that he is God. Because he rose, we know that his payment for sin was a sufficient payment. And it's offered to all of us as a free gift that we can accept, that we can have counted toward our lives by putting our trust in him. And again, if you'd want one of these little booklets that just says, may I ask you a question, just after the service, come grab one. And it has some of the verses in it that I mentioned to you during our little talk here. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that as we celebrate Easter Sunday, we celebrate a risen Savior. We celebrate Jesus who became man on our behalf and as 100% man, as 100% God, rose again from the dead, proving who he is, and that through faith in him, we can have our sin forgiven. And we praise you for that truth. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.